knowing him, hearing him, walking with him. And when you get in that true presence, he changes you. Because you know, this thing I'm holding on to in the kingdom of darkness, it's stopping me from growing in you, God. It's stopping me from being free in you. It's stopping me from knowing you. God, it's stopping you from being more real in my life. And that's the reason you let go. Devil, you ain't worth holding me back from a deeper walk with God. Now, let me tell you what, if you still hang on to this devil and you think you're going on with God, you got a counterfeit. You do not go into deeper places with God until you let go of darkness, until you let go of sin, until you let go of wrong attitudes, until you let go of past pains, until you let go of all these powers of this world. Until you let go of that, you are not going into a deep place with Christ. And if you think you are messed up. And I can prove it to you by your fruit. God does not allow it. He doesn't. You can get in, you know, you can get into the courts maybe. You can get into a place of praising him and thanking him. But you will not get into the Holy of Holies until both hands are free, lifted high, and worshiping Jesus. And so the next place God wants to take this ministry, many of you, is into the Holy of Holies. And we need to get to that place. You need what's going on Tuesday nights, or you don't have to get it here, but you need to get it somewhere. You need to get on tape. You've got to be sanctified, set apart, made holy. And that's what we're doing. We're tearing down what the enemy's done. We've got to let go of the hand of the enemy. Start to see that. For example, Marion, she's having trouble sleeping. She's fighting sleeping. She's fighting the spirit of heaviness. And she's like, please, God, get this away from me. Lord, set me free. Lord's like, you've got to learn how to let go of that hand. You've got to let go of the lies that the enemy holds you. You've got to let go of that fear. You've got to go after God and find out why you won't let go. Now, some of you think, well, that's terrible. Now you're putting it on me. No, that's good, because now you can be led by God to get free. You're not waiting for a minister to set you free. You're not waiting for God to do something else. He's not going to do anything else. Now, all of a sudden, you can stop and say, whoa, this is really about me believing truth. And breaking through everything. You might have to fast. Oh my gosh. You know, if you got a spirit of heaviness and it does manifest an overweight problem, I'll just be real with you. That's physically how it manifests. But emotionally, it first manifests in depression. It manifests in sadness. It manifests in a constant feeling of low self-esteem and no worth or no self-worth. You're constantly misunderstanding what people are saying. And it's a constant battle to feel like you're loved. I will just tell you, that's one of the demons that probably will not come out without fasting. I'm talking about the traditional, I'm not going to eat anything until I have a breakthrough and my flesh isn't in charge, and until I can worship God in the midst of hunger, in the midst of not feeling good, in the midst of the devil attacking me. When I can break through in that place and worship God, you will probably get your miracle and that spirit of heaviness will leave. Deborah told on last Thursday night at the meeting how when God was calling her to get free from cancer and get free from that strong spirit of heaviness, that she had to fast. And as she fasted, she had a breakthrough. So hopefully, I'm going to try to get somebody in here to teach you all on fasting. It's not, the spirit of heaviness is not my issue. Yay, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. The devil wanted it to be. When he killed my daughter in front of me, he wanted me to be a sad, heavy, burdened person. Who knows how much weight I would have gained by now. The way we were eating all that food everybody brought us for a year after she died, people were bringing us food for months. We actually, this was almost embarrassing, but we actually put a cooler on our front porch with a note on it, and so we went on the boat, just put the food in here, because people kept bringing so much food, and everybody wanted to help us, and everybody was so, and my husband, we gained 30 pounds each. We really did. It's because we were eating all this stuff because we didn't realize people cook so well. And then my husband said, go back to your cooking. And we lost most of it. Gosh, some of you guys just put way too much sauces and creams and sugar and all that good stuff and everything. You really need to just pray about quit pampering yourself with these things that taste so good. Because you really might be feeding that spirit. And start seeing it that way. When you start making that thing that your brain says, oh, that looks good, stop and say, well, it's okay for every now and then, but what's really good? What's really going to feed my body? What's really going to help me? Because I don't need to be pampered, and I don't need to be comforted with food. Anyway, tonight we're going to pick this up. I want you to see the thing about lawlessness. And when you get prayer, you can include that in your group, because I'm sure at least one or two people in each group was here last week. But I was looking at iniquity. Now, we had talked about iniquity, and all this is going to be out in a series here soon, probably after tonight, maybe, Karen. But there's so many scriptures on iniquity. I mean, there's hundreds of scriptures on iniquity. And we talked a lot about iniquity. And for those who weren't here, I'm just going to give you a real quick abbreviation of what it is, a quick version. Everything in the natural has a spiritual parallel. Everything. I believe about everything. I believe there's not an insect that was created that doesn't represent something in the spirit realm. I just believe it's that. That's the way God created everything. Everything's for his glory. Everything's to reveal something to you about God. Well, we all know, or we should if we've had science or biology at all, or health. But when a husband and a wife conceive a child, that child has a DNA that's imprinted in them that will give them their characteristics, their traits, personality traits, even to the point of things they'd be interested in and IQ and all kinds of things. And that DNA comes from the parents. It comes from being a little like the mom and a little like the dad. Okay. Well, in the spirit, the word iniquity is that DNA. It is what's passed on from your forefathers. It's what's passed on. And as it's passed on, certain, if you want to call them genes or traits or sins, become dominant. Just like when genes are passed on, certain things become dominant in the natural. They become dominant. How do they become dominant? Because that's an area where that family keeps getting lured in. Okay, so let's say, example, there's probably not a person here who doesn't have someone in their, if you go all the way back to Adam, doesn't have someone who was an alcoholic in their family. Okay, but many of us do not have a tendency towards alcoholism. But there are those who know that alcoholics are everywhere in their family. And if they take one drink, they're going to be drinking again and again and again. And that's what I'm talking about. That's someone who in that spiritual DNA or iniquity, in that passed on sin, sin that has not been renounced, sin that has not been brought to the cross, sin that has not been canceled, the curse has not been broken. When that sin comes down the family line and knocks on the door, it knows in this family, we know how to trap them. We know how to seduce them. We know that they've watched their parents drink and they thought it was okay, or they broke a spiritual law by judging their parents drinking. Satan has this whole demonic thing set up to cause you to get into that flow of iniquity, okay? And that same iniquity can bring in certain sicknesses. That same iniquity can bring in certain different issues and things. And what we saw 2 weeks ago, the first part of this series, is how the Lord stepped in to that stream of iniquity and blocked it so that it had to go through him. And then everything was filtered through the cross, and iniquity was then bruised. Iniquity could not get through, and I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. But what's happened for many of us because of unbelief, because of lack of knowledge, the Bible says my people perish because of lack of knowledge, because of that, because of wrong teaching, because not believing in sanctification, because not understanding the work of the Holy Spirit, because buying lies that once you're saved, you're already perfect, or buying lies you can never be perfected, or whatever the thing is that Satan has done, it caused there to be not a complete blockage between iniquity and now. And so the cross was only placed partway in your life. It was not placed the whole way. It was only partway in your life. And therefore, a lot of junk has gotten through. And that's why we have such mixture instead of living holy lives. Tonight, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of these iniquities so you can get in groups and deal with some of this stuff. Okay? So I'm going to just go over a few scriptures more about iniquity, and then we're going to kind of break up into groups based on what you feel like is the iniquity or the DNA Satan placed in your family line that you want to go deeper at getting free from. Or if it's an area where you've been really free, then we want you to join a group that you can help others. Okay? For example, we're going to have one group for anger. And that doesn't mean this is going to be handled in one night. We have a group, if you have a problem with anger or rage and you try and try not to go there, but it happens, get over the shame. I'm going to tell you what, some of the meekest, sweetest, nicest little mamas in the whole wide world can go into crazy maniac, screaming, yelling, kicking, and throwing stuff because of iniquity. So take the mask up, just stick it down on the chair. You don't need it in here. You can put it on when you go back outside. Hopefully you won't need to. But we're going to deal with it because we've learned to separate the person from the Spirit operating. We've learned to separate the person made in the image of God, who is what the Father sees, from the person who still has disassociated or has taken on these other things, have bought lies, and they go bonkers, okay? Iniquity could cause you just to give up. And if we went to your home, we would find the biggest mess, nothing being accomplished, kids running the show, nothing clean, garbage mess. And you would just be, oh, well, get in a group and take your mask off and get with other people who have either had that or getting free. Do you see what I'm saying? There's no condemnation in Christ. Say it. There's no condemnation in Christ. He means it. If you still have condemnation, then you need to get in a group that needs to get the revelation. There's no condemnation in Christ. Is there anybody in this room? And if you think so, it's fine. Raise your hand. We'll deal with you. It's okay. Is there anybody in this room who's perfect yet? Is there anybody in this room who's better than they used to be? That's the work of the cross. Okay? And that's all we're doing. We're not hypocrites. We recognize there's areas God's still dealing. We know we're not walking on water yet. But we shall be. We shall raise the dead. Hallelujah. We shall have authority over lawlessness. I believe it. We're going to be doing the mighty works that God has for the end days. I believe that with all my heart. We're going to get set free from fear. Hallelujah. I believe it now. As God reveals his ways to me, and I understand how Satan's kingdom is set up, it's really just a matter of time of watching Satan's kingdom completely fall and seeing Christ in me, the hope of glory, come forth. Yes. And I will be who he wants me to be. And that's going to be so much fun. What an adventure. Hallelujah. That's the army of the Lord that the enemy is so scared of. Man can't make it happen. Okay, let me go over some of these scriptures just to give you an idea of some of the things that iniquity brings forth so we can get in groups and talk about some of it.